Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me as always is the brides to my Frankenstein, the Stephen Kings to my Dean Koontzes, Snort.
Hi.
Silent John.
Hello!
Wow. And Frank couldn't be here today.
Well, I swore on the last episode you said this was going to be a cocaine-fueled ride, so I just thought I would bring that energy.
That's some full 1980s Stephen King energy right there. But that's not the kind of morning we're having right now.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite.
We're doing a rare daytime recording, so we're early stoned and a little hungover.
Waiting on Uber Eats.
Waiting on some greasy food to get here. And today we're going to be watching what is actually a really good hangover movie. Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
What constitutes this as a good hangover movie?
Okay, so like a hangover movie is something you can kind of slip in and out of throughout the course of the movie.
Is it similar to a going to bed or taking a nap movie?
Yes.
Okay.
But with a lot less effort.
Yeah, okay.
That it's the day after on the couch, like waiting for the Uber Eats to get there. You got this on. Commercial comes up, you fall asleep during the commercial. That's cool. You pick it back up an hour later when you wake up.
And you really just didn't miss anything, huh? You're just right back into the chaos.
Yeah.
All right.
Fun.
And this movie exists because of Stephen King, who is undoubtedly one of the most prolific horror writers of our time. No disrespect to him. On that side of the fence.
I would say like of old times, not even just our times.
Yeah, it seems as if even if you don't like read books actively, you've still at some point read a Stephen King book in your life.
Yeah, you at least know who Stephen King the fuck is.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stephen King the director is somebody else. Because I think it's like pure concentrated Stephen King.
Does he have like a little bit of an edge to him?
No. It's weird. We'll get into that.
Okay.
So I grew up in a Stephen King house. My mom was a big Stephen King reader. I was a Goosebumps kid growing up, transitioning into Stephen King's books as I got older. Where's your guys' spooky literature like wheelhouse?
I pretty much fell in the same line as you, Dan. I was a big Goosebumps fan when I was younger, and weirdly enough, it was one of my biggest fears as a kid that I remember, Slappy the Dummy. I would go to bed at night and would tell my parents, like, I really hope I don't have dreams of Slappy or Ghostface, because I watched those things at a young age. Like, they terrified me. But now I love them all. Goosebumps has that, like, nostalgic itch that works. Like, you had the Jack Black movie. That was fantastic. Now Justin Long is attached to some Goosebumps Disney Plus series. Like, they can't do any wrong in my eyes at this point. And then you transition into the Stephen King stuff, and you're telling me we're going to get something kind of wild today. I'm pretty excited for it, I think. Snort, what books did you go for?
I don't think I really read like any like horror books. I think I read more like mythical, like spooky kind of stuff, like vampires and werewolves. And okay, and not just Twilight though. Not just Twilight. Like even before that. Like I was always into like that kind of more spooky stuff than just like horror, like scary. You know what I mean? I never read Stephen King or Goosebumps.
So you were more into the spooky vibe, but not the spooky elements.
Yeah. Like witches and stuff like that. Like I'm more into that stuff than just like, yeah.
The Disney version of Halloween.
No, not even just the Disney. I think it's more the realistic version, kind of.
Yeah, you didn't really get your horror chops till a lot later in life.
Yeah. I think the spookiest thing like I read when I was like a kid though was like a series of unfortunate events. That's like as like spooky, like that's as close to Goosebumps as I got.
The Snicket?
Yeah.
That was as close.
Oh, that's so
I mean,
wholesome.
There's shades of it in there, but
well, and especially back in the times, I mean, Goosebumps books were very much marketed towards boys, so yeah, I just didn't. Yeah. I didn't get into Goosebumps. I was a Junie B. Jones girl.
Yeah, you could have gone like Fear Street. Like that was the girl side of like the Goosebumps.
I think that was, but I don't know. I think that was before me. Like I don't think that stuck around with my generation. I don't know anyone that read those.
The Fear Street series didn't survive Y2K. Is that what you're telling me?
Not in my circle, no.
No, Goosebumps was always my big one. I'm very excited for the upcoming series. We've been actually saying, I think we've said it on this show before, that there should be a Goosebumps series.
Yeah, I'm almost positive there's a timestamp somewhere in the back catalog.
And we might have said the name Justin Long in the same episode, so we might have manifested that as well.
We'll take partial credit.
Goosebumps for me, like every time I went to the store, I would get a new Goosebumps book. Like that, I had the massive 100-piece Goosebumps collection.
Well, there were just so many classic covers to them. They looked so cool. And then, yeah, the bigger the collection you had, you could line them all up. They just looked so badass next to each other.
Yeah, you got the logos and the colors and everything's popping. And as excited as I am for the new Goosebumps series, I'm also equally excited to be watching Maximum Overdrive today. So, Maximum Overdrive is not a good movie. I'm just going to say that right now.
I feel like that's the only consensus I've heard, is that you're in for a ride, but it's not a very great one. But to me, that's the kind of shit that I'm into, honestly.
But I also have no idea, like, why it's not a good movie. Like, I don't really know why.
There's various reasons why this movie is not a good movie.
So I think you said it last time, Dan, that this was kind of like an FU to Stanley Kubrick in a sense.
Yeah, so Stephen King historically had been optioning out his book rights for years. You know, you've got The Shining, you've got Silver Bullet, you've got the
It.
It, yeah. All the It's. And Stanley Kubrick got his hands on The Shining and was able to do The Shining, and everyone fucking loved it. But Stephen King didn't like that Stanley Kubrick changed a lot of things from his original book to fit the movie.
Which, okay, I can partially understand that, but if it's a widely acknowledged great movie and it's based on your novel, why wouldn't you just take that in stride and just be happy with the product?
Or don't put it up for sale if you don't want people to make their own art out of your art.
No, but this was a big thing. Like, this was a big thing before the movie got made.
Like, it was...
They were fighting.
Very vocal and public about it all.
The opening of The Shining starts with, I believe it's a yellow car is what they're driving. Mm-hmm. And they drive past a car accident in the opening scene. And there's a red car that's been crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the book, the original car was red. Stanley Kubrick was saying, fuck you to Stephen King. This is my story. Your characters are already fucking dead.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, to me, that sounds like a great direction to go with this movie already.
Shots fired.
So Stanley Kubrick was already fucking with Stephen King also. And The Shining came out and everybody fucking loved it. And the one person who fucking hated it was Stephen motherfucking King, because it wasn't the movie he wanted it to be. So Stephen King decided, I'm going to direct my own movie in some fucking cocaine-fueled fucking nightmare of a thought. And he got people to fucking produce it, and Maximum Overdrive is what's going to come out. Stephen King's directorial fucking debut. And it's not even a good story to start. It's not his best work from a writing standpoint. Mm-hmm. The book's not that good. Why do you choose this? Like, why? There's so much, like, the movie could be presented by a dude in a fucking suit with question marks all over it, and it would be completely understandable, because this movie is just fucking why.
I have a question. You said, okay, so this is Stephen King's directorial debut. Is this also his directorial finale?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. One and done.
This was a big nope.
It's really going to be that bad, isn't it?
It's going to be that bad.
Man, I'm glad breakfast is on the way.
There might be a breakfast time nap in the middle of this movie. It's that bad.
I'll do my best. I think I'll be able to make it. I need to see this whole thing.
We might have to watch it in shifts. Like, I'll take the first half hour. John, you take the second half hour. And Snort, you take notes for the third one, and we'll all fill each other in at the end. This movie does star a young Emilio Estevez.
Oh, wow.
Post-Breakfast Club, but pre-Charlie Sheen's brother, Emilio Estevez.
This is probably one of those movies he hopes he doesn't get asked about.
It's the first cinematic appearance of the Green Goblin.
That's one of the things I'm most excited to see, is I've seen images of that from everywhere and never known that this is where it came from. So I'm excited to finally see the context of it.
You do get a Stephen King cameo in this movie.
I would be very surprised if there wasn't a Stephen King cameo in this movie, given all the backstory.
Yeah, because this almost kind of sounds like a very egotistical kind of move on his part. Like, flexing his own muscles like, nobody can adapt my product better than myself. So, yeah, why wouldn't he be in the fucking movie?
And the story revolves around trucks that come to life.
You mean Transformers?
No, I don't. They don't transform. They're just trucks.
With spooky goblin faces?
With spooky goblin faces. There is a rolling paper truck.
Really?
One of them is a rolling paper truck.
That's fun, at least.
He was always my favorite.
Of course, obviously.
And, oh gosh, there's...
Is this movie like Twisted Metal? Is this the movie version of that?
Oh, if only.
Oh, not even that.
There's so much and so little going on in this movie at the same time. And my brain's already pre-melting thinking about the fact that I'm going to have to watch this shortly.
I'm just really trying to piece what this movie could even be with the little bit of information you've given us. And yeah, not even the slightest clue.
Okay, you know the gif there? It's like, we are all stupider now for having heard what you have said, the Billy Madison, quote.
Yeah, yeah.
That's this movie. We're going to lose a couple IQ points today, folks.
Hey, it's been a while since we've had one this bad, though, right? Is this maybe the worst movie we've ever reviewed? Would you say that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Then Jurassic World Dominion?
Then Jurassic World Dominion.
You mean Biosyn.
House on a Haunted Hill.
Wow. You know, all you're doing is trashing it, and I just want to watch it so bad now. This is probably going to be the most notes I've taken in quite a while from the sounds of it.
Oh my gosh. I'm literally having a moment right now. Like, it's all coming and flooding back to me, everything that's going to be happening. And it's, what's the reverse? What's like a vomitous orgasm? You know what I mean? Like,
ooh.
Like your brain. Like, it's disgusting, but it's like, oh. That's the feeling that I'm full on getting right now.
It just sounds nasty.
Yeah, how do you... Vomiting orgasm, that's a doozy you've created over there.
I don't know how else to describe the feeling. It's like, it's going down the back of my spine.
Are you sure?
And it's kind of making me, like, gag.
You're not having a stroke, are you? Do you smell burning toast?
Is the food here?
You're not sick at all. You're super.
It is not here, but it is on its way.
No, but the movie is a fun ride. It definitely deserves somewhere in the echelon of bad movies with, like, The Room and that type of terrible films.
It sounds like a movie that's going to stick with me for a long time, for the reasons you don't typically want a movie to stick with you for.
All right, well, do we want to start getting some Maximum Overdrive overdrived and going?
Sounds like we better.
Let's put the pedal to the metal, I guess.
And now, our feature presentation.
I bought the movie, and Snort and John bought the snacks, and we're back. And we just watched Maximum Overdrive.
What the fuck is this shit?
I can't even with this movie.
Not at all. No, like, you can't even a little bit with this.
No. I'm so pissed off with this movie right now.
I think based on the fact that before we watched this, Dan, you were talking about how this was like him, in a sense, kind of trying to go toe-to-toe with Kubrick. And that honestly made me hate this more. To see, like, this is what you're going to put up against that, like, as your middle finger to him. You hate The Shining enough to make this, and you think this is, like, quality work?
This is his, like, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And, yeah, he did it himself in this movie.
Yeah, he absolutely face-planted with this movie, is what he did.
I just hated everything about this movie. I couldn't wait for it to be over. At some point, I looked at the time, and I realized that this movie had only been on for 30 minutes. And it felt like it was so, like, this felt like the longest movie.
This is a long hour and a half movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is insane how much it just kind of drags. I legitimately almost took a nap. It almost happened.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes this a very good hangover movie, because it's very much like, you know, when you wake up, oh, this is still on, because it's still on. And you think, you know, it's only been 20 minutes, but it's been much substantially longer.
Well, and considering there's really not a lot of substance to the story here. Yeah, you can just pick it up at any point in time and be like, oh, the cars are still driving in a circle. I'm watching a NASCAR race.
The horror movie equivalent of a NASCAR race. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a pit stop from hell.
Yeah, and this movie starts as one would suspect Stephen King to start a movie with a lot of, like, written words on the screen. Got to do a little bit of reading.
Well, and what better person to start the movie off than Stephen King himself? What a brilliant choice. Oh, look at me. I'm an asshole.
This guy's a fucking asshole. And I didn't take notes at all pretty much throughout the majority of this movie. I was just, it's like the scene in Batman Forever where the TV's sucking the brains out of people. The little Riddler device that's on top of the TV and it's sucking their, that's how I feel when I watch this movie.
I can completely relate. I felt the same way. Like how you talked about that we were losing IQ with this movie, for sure. The dumbest movie I've ever seen.
Guys, this movie might just be the Colin Robinsons of, like, movies.
This movie is an energy vampire.
Because, yeah, I feel like we all lost something along the way here.
And the whole plot of this movie is essentially that the machines have taken over, or the comet flew over Earth, and the machines became sentient, and they don't like humans. Stephen King, you got a lot of, like, really good things, and you've done this well before. There was a, you know, a movie called Christine that you gave John Carpenter and let him do, and that was good, about a sentient car. This movie about sentient trucks that you did yourself? No, Stephen King.
I mean, I'll give him a little bit of credit, because this movie really does just kind of kick it into overdrive right away on the bridge. I mean, shit happens instantly in this movie. Not good shit, but it's well, I don't even want to call it chaotic good, because it's just chaotic bad. But he gets to the chaos pretty fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of chaotic bits in this movie. The one of the baseball field in particular always stands out in my head, with the coach getting the sodas out of the soda machine and then the soda machine just going apeshit and spitting shit at everybody.
What a way to go out. I mean, it's presumed that he's dead. I mean, did you see that can gash on his head?
Oh, yeah. That was a full-on can knocker.
See, my favorite is at that same little scene, but it comes after when the kid's riding away on his bike and he front flips and just gets absolutely steamrolled.
Apparently, during the filming of that scene, they wanted to, like, make a blood bag kind of, like, explode so that, like, well, so that the drum of the fucking flattening construction machine that's escaping me right now, as it rolls, continues, like, smearing the blood. But apparently the timing made it look like the kid's head exploded, so they tried to leave that in, and they had to leave it on the cutting room floor as per the MPAA.
They were not okay with the kid's head exploding?
Not under a steamroller. Figured it out.
Yeah.
Got it.
There you go. That is one thing with this whole movie is like, what was the budget for this movie? The budget for this movie was way more than it should have been. Like, there were so many, like, explosions, all of these cars and trucks doing all of this stuff.
Someone really expected Stephen King to cover the spread on this one.
Big miss. Another thing, another side thing, with all of the machines, like, hitting the humans and stuff, one of my many problems with this movie is, think, they have all these guns and, like, rockets the whole time, but those things never turned on them, but the gun attached to a car turns on them, and, like, the soda machine turns on them, but they aren't afraid of a gun.
See, this moment that you're describing, Snort, happens so many times because one of my main notes is our friend Curtis! His car doesn't turn on him, but every other vehicle that surrounds them is suddenly a bad, like, a bad, evil, spooky car. But how come his doesn't, like, try to kill him, you know? Like, what's up with that?
Why does the one kid's bike stop working and front flip him over so the steamroller can murder him, and the hero kid's bike is fine when he's rolling past the ominous sprinklers that are going off that have no mechanical parts. That's actually just water pressure. Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies in this movie. And I want to say just you got to suspend disbelief because it's a movie, but no, because it's a bad movie.
Well, even you get the thunderous, you know, roars of AC/DC throughout this movie, and it starts to kind of slow burn. You get the quiet little intro of AC/DC, and you feel like the movie's going to kick into maximum overdrive. AC/DC's on, let's go, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, using AC/DC exclusively as the score kind of brought a lot of, like, build-up, like, energy to moments that really didn't need it throughout this movie.
I think at one point a song kicked on, I was like, oh, here we go, because I was expecting some shit to go down, and then I was like, well, damn, I feel like an idiot now. Nothing. They're just running around.
Literally, for those about to rock, and they're outside pumping gas. So anticlimactic.
Like, I thought we were going to get some slow-mo scenes of them fucking just blasting the trucks, and there's going to be more explosions, and yeah. Well, get to the gas. That's very underwhelming, Steven.
No, this whole movie is just a mash of AC/DC songs misplaced, shots of menacing vehicles just moving around. I want to say the vehicles got just as much screen time as their human counterparts.
If not more, honestly.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder if they were compensated equally or not.
Is there just like a trucking union out there?
A trucking actors union? The TAG?
I am curious to hear, who is the worst character to you guys?
Oh, it's Lisa Simpson.
I weirdly didn't hate her. It was annoying, but, like, I don't know. It was a fun bit every time she popped up.
Oh, I couldn't stand her.
Nope. I was done with Lisa Simpson.
I see. I don't know. It was like the old, like, what was he, like the owner of the diner? Who was this fucking guy? He's got the bunker of guns.
Oh, you mean Boss Hogg over there?
Yeah, fucking Boss Hogg. Oh, let me just pull out this rocket launcher and shoot at all these people I'm trying to protect. Ha, psych. Boom. Dude has no care for human life at all.
No. This movie was consistently somehow both overacted and underacted throughout the entire fucking movie. Every person, there was either somebody going way too big or somebody going way too small.
Or weirdly, both at the same time, I feel like.
I think I'm just trying to figure out Emilio Estevez's, like, character. Like, are we, is he, like,
he's the hero, didn't you get it?
He doesn't feel like a hero in this movie, though. I don't know my take on him.
He's the bad boy.
He's a bad boy with, like, a love story that just springs out of nowhere.
This is a weird time in America where, like, trucker culture was actually, like, in, you know, like, Smokey and the Bandit type shit, fucking BJ and the Bear. Like, there's a weird thing with trucker culture and Americans that kind of, like, stopped happening in the 90s.
Should we be thankful that it stopped around then?
Oh, yeah, there were songs like, we got a big, big convoy. It was a fucking hit, motherfuckers.
That sounds like trucker, like, propaganda.
It was. I mean, the highways were just built. You can't blame them.
Now that I'm thinking of back to that era, yeah, trucker hats were like a big, like, stylish, like, choice. Dang, okay. Okay, starting to connect the dots here.
And it takes place at the Dixie Boy Diner and gas station. And you've got this mix-mash of people who are overacting, underacting, and doing both at the same time. And then a bunch of, like, extras that are just in scenes and not in scenes. It's like they've got... You've definitely got some main character syndrome going on in the middle of this diner.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, I can't even put much thought into Carmine and God that, other than that, yeah, there was, like, a scene with somebody, and it would be, like, something happening, and you're like, who the fuck is this person? And you're like, oh, it's just a rando that's been there the whole time, I guess. Or, like, whenever they find the kid, and, like, the kid knows them, and, like, who is this person? Like, what is happening?
I mean, I might be stupid, but to touch on that same point again, like, the guy who, like, steals the ring at the end, I was just like, we're getting a lot of focus on this guy at the end of the movie, and I just cannot place him at all.
I had that same thing with the guy at the, when he throws a grenade at the gun car. I was like, who the fuck's this guy?
Yeah, aside from Curtis, that's the only person's name that I know in this entire movie, and that's only because Lisa Simpson was screaming it the entire fucking time.
You know, this whole movie gives me Walking Dead season 1 vibes. Where all these people are just dying, and you're like, who the fuck was that? Like, they're just there and they're gone. Like, Emilio Estevez is a mix between Shane and Rick, for sure. Lisa Simpson is a mix between Andrea and Lori, and that's this movie. It's the worst characters from The Walking Dead.
So what you're saying is if we gave Maximum Overdrive a little bit more time and we got to Maximum Overdrive 4, it could have been a goddamn masterpiece for a little bit?
Possibly. And then out again real quick.
Yeah, but Maximum Overdrive, you run into a different issue than you run into with zombies, and that's the fact that these are just trucks. There's literally, like, woods, like, a couple hundred yards from where they are. Just go in the woods. What are the trucks going to do? Run through 50 fucking trees? They're going to get broken.
I mean, the trucks, like, would stop at the doors of the buildings they would be in. So, yeah, there's no way they're going to try to barrel through a tree. They can't withstand that kind of damage.
Yeah, that's going to bend the A-frame and blow the radiator, and they're going to be dead in the water. Just don't go where the trucks can go. It's solvable. It's such a solvable problem.
And I don't even understand the trucks' logic. They come in, they wreck all the shit. Now they start speaking Morse code to the kid, and they just are looking for gas? Is that what they're here for?
I mean, to be fair, the trucks had more logic than Curtis and Lisa Simpson when their logic was to drive through the trucks to get inside where the trucks were circling menacingly to go hide with other humans.
Yeah, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, Curtis has a lot of missteps on the way. He kind of just gaslights old Lisa, like, no, 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 we'll totally make it. Wham, we get fucked.
I mean, Curtis has a lot going on, to be fair. I think he's got a little bit of a pee thing going on. A little bit of a pee fetish, because we were introduced to Curtis by him wanting to watch his new wife pee. And he makes little comments when he's crawling through the sewer about pee and how does it taste.
Now I need the whole, like, Curtis prequel. I feel like it gets pretty weird.
You need the Curtis cut?
Guys, what about... Okay, so this is our one and only Stephen King movie. What about if this is kind of like Quentin Tarantino feet, you know?
God, so please, no.
If we had gotten more of the Stephen King universe, there would have been a lot more pee.
So he's going to make The Shining, and instead of the blood coming down the hall...
Just pee.
Strictly pee. How is it we watch Maximum Overdrive and all of a sudden uncover a Stephen King fetish that was right before our eyes?
It was our one glimpse into the mind of Stephen King. And you can see why I said earlier that this is like Stephen King, just pure, the purest form of Stephen King.
This was him at his most hydrated.
I just can't believe that this is the one thing that we got from the movie. This is our biggest takeaway.
You know, I think I'm going to view Curtis as, like, the main character. Because if you watch his arc compared to, like, Emilio Estevez's, Curtis feels more like a main heroic character to me. He's throwing himself out there, like, no, I'm going out there. You can't stop me. There's a man, you know, we need to save him. Emilio's just like, yeah, fuck you. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I could see that. I could see Curtis being the main character in this movie.
I mean, he's flawed. Don't get me wrong, but...
And no, we're not kink shaming here. He's not flawed. He's just into some stuff.
Presumably.
Allegedly. But I'm with you. I think Curtis is the main character because he is. And he's all like when he's pumping that gas, he's got that hat on backwards. He's like
Mr. Cool Guy.
Uh-huh. Got that sweaty wife beater like a Bruce Willis.
He is the one that goes to volunteer to go save that one guy in a ditch. That is dead and not dead and then dead again. I don't know.
The worst fucking jump scare ever was Mr. Bible Man popping up and grabbing the kid.
Well, he's going to threaten the kid, save me or I'll kill you. Like, dude, you're already kind of dead. I don't think you're going to kill me.
And I just love that the kid just looks over and goes, Bill, help me out over here.
Like, you really can't wiggle away from a dying guy. Come on.
There's just so many things with this fucking movie that I just...
There's layers upon layers upon layers of weirdness. No, I won't even say goodness. There's
no goodness in this movie at all. That's it. It's a bad movie, but with no redeeming qualities at all.
Yeah, like, if Tommy Wiseau did this movie, it's instantly a 10 out of 10. Like, Stephen King could have done something amazing here, and he still didn't.
Okay, well, there is also... The story is that Stephen King didn't actually do all of this. Because during said production of this movie, Stephen King went to rehab. And George Romero came in and did parts of this movie for him. And that's the myth. And it's never been 100% confirmed.
Hmm.
But that's what they say. And I can see that a little bit in some of the more gorier scenes, like the opening baseball scene.
Yeah.
You know, the fucking cans. Like, that kind of feels more Romero-y, the... Steamroller, that feels a little more Romero-y to me. But, yeah, this thing is just a mess in a dump that's on a barge that's sinking and it's on fire.
Yeah, and that fun fact makes this movie even worse. That two people made this bad of a movie. Like, no one was like, hey, maybe we should rethink something. No, two people thought this was good.
You've got a movie where your bad guys can't say anything other than beeping their horns at people and driving around and bumping into them. It's, again, it was just a poor choice for Stephen King to fucking make in the first place because there's not much you can do with this story. There's nothing there.
Yeah, the more and more I think about it, the trucks aren't even really, like, interesting. There's nothing cool about it. You got the Green Goblin-looking one. But it just kind of gets more, like, schlocky as it goes along. I kind of get more and more over it the more I see it.
A Greek goblin looking for what? Like, why does he look like that?
He was a toy truck.
Okay, and every toy truck looks like that?
Not every toy truck,
have
but this one...
Have you ever seen a toy truck
no,
that looks like
it was...
that?
Okay, no, you know what? No, you're right. I don't even know why I'm, like, actively defending anything on this. You're right. It's ridiculous that it has that fucking face on in front of it.
You know what would have been a cool addition to this movie? This, if it would have just even had one scene with this, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Like, get that in here.
A very angry Wienermobile.
Yeah, that would have been the best scene.
Honestly, if you take that same Green Goblin face and slap it on the Wienermobile, I would be way more into it.
Yeah, I think I would watch a whole movie about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile going around murdering people.
Well, but he starts off as just your typical Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, just slinging dogs, making people happy.
Yeah, of course. But then, you know, he feels disadvantaged. Because a lot of what this movie is, if you look at it, it's like the trucks. There are, we use them for work. There are servants. And they're rising up against the oppression of the humans in this movie.
Yeah, don't forget, that lady screamed it all the time, "We made you!"
I mean,
that lady was wild.
This movie's a little machinist.
I just, I think I'm just at a loss with this movie. Like, I feel mentally drained.
What a fucking terrible fucking vanity project this was.
I'm really glad nobody ever let him make another movie, you know? Even because he's Stephen King.
Well, he doesn't let himself make any movies because when people ask if he would ever direct again, he says, have you seen Maximum Overdrive?
Okay, so he's aware of this?
He is well aware of his mistake. Okay. He doesn't think this is... Stephen King's not walking around like, did Maximum Overdrive fucking nailed it?
How long did it take him to get to that point, though? Was he, whenever it came out, was he like that?
Oh, I have no idea, but I fucking hope not. There's no way you look at this at any point, even if you just finished it. This is the first time you're seeing the full cut. There is no way you look at this and go, nailed it.
I don't know. Given his potential mindset of doing this maybe out of spite and anger, a part of me thinks at least for a couple weeks he was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I'll never top this. Nobody will ever top this.
I can't wait till Stanley sees this. He's going to be so jealous.
He's going to write me so many mad letters. All work and no play makes Steven a dull boy.
Yeah, this movie just came from a fucking cocaine-fueled ego fucking need. 100%. And that's exactly what it looks like on the fucking screen.
Can we, like, rewind the day and just not watch this movie? Is that a possibility?
No, it takes that ability from you. Now you will never have not watched Maximum Overdrive.
What a dumpster fire, guys. This was... can we all agree this is probably the worst movie we have seen for the podcast? 100%.
Yeah, for sure. I liked Velocipaster more than this.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you. Velocipaster 2, all in. Maximum Overdrive 2, hashtag him out.
I don't know. Maximum Overdrive can't even hold a candle to Velocipaster. That movie holds like a special place in my heart, I think.
That movie was a movie that was done badly well.
Yeah, exactly.
Was a movie that was done well badly.
Maximum Overdrive should have been a Velocipaster situation. But
Stephen King and his fucking cocaine addiction.
Stephen. Poor thing.
I mean, how mad at this movie are you guys?
10 out of 10.
John?
I'd like to have some words with Mr. King, I think.
Like, are you that angry that you're going to, like, book a flight to the Northeast to go and have a talking to with Mr. King?
Dan, what if I told you it's already done?
Well, damn, I guess that means that in lieu of an episode next week, John and Snort are going to go up to Northeast and fight with Stephen King. But we'll be back the week after that with our Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween Kills episode.
Halloween ends episode.
Halloween ends episode.
Well, there'll be some Halloween killing in there for sure, for sure.
Yeah, so John and Snort are going to go up to fight Stephen King, and then we're going to watch Halloween Kills Ends. Halloween Ends Kills. Which one?
Halloween Ends.
It's the end. It's the end. It's the last one.
Yes.
And then we're going to watch Halloween Ends for some more spooky season. Halloween's kind of like a tradition with us for our spooky seasons. The first season ended with us building up to go see a Halloween movie, and we didn't. The second season kickoff started with us going to go see a Halloween movie, which we did because it was streaming.
Go us.
It ain't. I think this one we got the option to watch it streaming or in theaters.
Ooh, streaming, please.
That'll make it more fun.
Yeah, get a lounge on the nice couch.
The couch where you watched Maximum Overdrive.
All the excitement is now gone.
Do I have to throw that couch out?
Yes.
We're getting excited for Halloween Ends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Halloween Ends.
It's our spooky finale.
Yeah, Halloween Kills, but that was the last one, right? Halloween Kills?
Yeah.
Okay. Halloween Kills was better than it should have been also. Like, it was a fun fucking movie. It was fun ride, fun Halloween film.
Yeah, that movie was an absolute delight. I know people don't really love it, but how can you not have fun with it? There's so many fun kills in it.
I mean, any movie with Michael Myers is going to be a little fun.
Yeah, I love me some motherfucking Michael Myers. I am ready for it. I am ready for it to also be over. Jamie Lee Curtis, I love you, but It's about that time. It's time to go.
Yeah, I think it's time for everybody to say goodbye. I think it's time for Michael to finally clock out.
Yeah. Hang up the old mechanics outfit. Take out the smokes. It's time for you to give up killing.
My doctor said if I keep killing, I got maybe another 18 months left. But I've been doing it for so long, I don't know how to do anything else.
Okay, but that's going to be the week after the next week. The week after the next week. I'm really fucking high for this episode. That's going to happen for Halloween. There you go. You're welcome. Fans.
Ghouls.
Goblins.
Dublin?
All right, but that's going to do it for this week's episode. So if you see three trucks circling a fucking part. Nope, I'm not even going to do one. That's it for this week's episode. Bye, everyone. Love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Switch to bicycles. See, I was just kind of worried the kid was going to get, like, electrocuted at that moment. I was getting real stressed out for him.
That would have made this movie a little bit better.
Oh, some kids getting electrocuted? That's what you want to see?
Yes.
Yeah, like, there's this green aura around Earth that all of a sudden now the machines are evil. Like, is there a machine planet that we're not aware of?
Well, didn't you read the title card at the end? It was the aliens in the tail of the comet all the time. Because they were doing exactly what the one girl said in the middle of the movie about the aliens. With fucking Stephen King, man. I know. Maybe it's...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
See? Good job, Stephen King. Good job. Two thumbs up. We're gonna put this thing on your refrigerator. Maximum Overdrive with a sticker on it.